We are so glad you've joined us today for our Tuesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our study in Exodus, so let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
When we read about the glory of God dwelling in the tabernacle, we see a couple times where it departed from the tabernacle. We see it in 1 Samuel chapter 4, when Eli the high priest, who was a weak and not disciplining his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were corrupt. They sinned by sleeping with the women who served at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, among other sins. And so the whole priestly leadership was misrepresenting God, sinning against God. And we read in 1 Samuel 4, Ichabod, meaning the glory of God is gone. And so Israel brings the Ark of the Covenant out of the tabernacle, which is in Shiloh, in the Holy of Holies. They were not allowed to do this. They brought it out to the battlefields with the Philistines, and they were using it as a good luck charm. Okay, because God dwells between the cherubim, okay? And so, don't look at that, we're not there yet. There you go. Says, and we know that God dwells between the cherubim, okay? So, so the cherubim is the mercy seat, so that's where God's presence is, above the Holy of Holies and everything else. So God's presence is there, and then they take it out, okay? And so Eli and Phinehas, who is not supposed to go back there, go and take the Ark of the Covenant. They take it with them into the battlefield. Nowhere are they ever told to do that. Okay, they're not told to do that at all. When Joshua took the Ark of the Covenant to walk around Jericho, it was because the Lord told Joshua to do that. And the tabernacle wasn't set up then. They were still journeying. Okay. And so they were traveling into the promised land. And so it was God who told Joshua, I want you to take the ark. You're going to march around 7 times. Then we're going to blow the horn and boom, it's going to fall down. But God told him to do that. Okay. But once it's in the tabernacle, you don't remove it until you break down the tabernacle in order to travel as God moves you on. So Israel, with their corrupt priesthood, decide to take the ark into battle like it's some good luck charm. And the Philistines end up winning. They capture the ark. Eli, upon hearing that his sons had died in battle and that the ark had been captured, falls off the seat that's by the gate, breaks his neck, and he dies. Phinehas' wife, who was with child, she delivers her child and names him Ichabod, which means the glory of God has departed. So now these verses here in 1 Samuel 4:21, it says she named the child Ichabod, saying the glory has departed from Israel because the ark of God had been captured and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And then in verse 22, and she said the glory has departed from Israel for the ark of God has been captured. It says twice for emphasis that we should know at this point the glory of the Lord has departed from Israel. And you don't read about the glory of God returning until Solomon builds the temple. And much like Moses, when all that's done, the glory comes back. In 1 Kings 7:51, so all the work that King Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. Solomon brought the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver, the gold, the furnishings. He put them in the treasuries of the house of the Lord. 1 Kings 8:10 says, and it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. So the priest could not continue ministering because the cloud, the glory of the Lord, filled the house of the Lord. I love that. I love that. Now the glory is back. The physical, that presence of God's glory in the cloud is back there for all of Israel to see. But that glory also leaves. I want you to go over here to Ezekiel chapter 9. Go to Ezekiel chapter 9. In Ezekiel chapter 9, we get to see how God's glory is removed from Israel. In verse 3, the Lord is showing Ezekiel how the glory of God is leaving. And in verse 3, it says, "Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub," meaning the Ark of the Covenant where the cherubim are, because he dwells between the cherubim. We read about that in 1 Samuel 4:4, like over half a dozen times we read in God's word how God dwells between the cherubim. And that speaks of the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant. That's where his presence was going to be seen in the cloud. "Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it has been to the threshold of the temple." Okay, so that's at the front of going into the temple. That's where it is now up, and it has gone to there. Now go over here to Ezekiel 10. In 10 verse 4, it says, "Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and paused over the threshold." So it went to the threshold, now it's above the threshold, okay? And the court was filled with the brightness of the Lord's glory. So now it's shining out. And then in verse 18 of chapter 10, it says, "And the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple, stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. And when they went out, the wheels were beside them. They stood at the door, the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of God of Israel was above them." So where he was before with a there at the mercy seat, with those two golden cherubim there, it says that he now is with the cherub, okay? And now there are real cherubim that is around him that goes to the threshold. And with those cherubim, he's now above the threshold. And then with those cherubim, he now goes out to the east gate, okay? And so then in Ezekiel 11:23, if you go over there, it says, "So the cherubim lifted up their wings with the wheels beside them, and the glory of God of Israel was high above them." So wherever these cherubim with the wheels that are lifting up, and they are now lifting up off the earth, guess what? It says right here, it says that the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city, because he was above them and stood now on the mountain, which on the east side of the city, that would be the Mount of Olives. When you go to Israel with us, you kind of go, "This is the mountain? This hill is the Mount of Olives?" Yeah. Okay. Everything is much smaller than what we read in God's word. And so it gives you a greater understanding that when Jesus was crucified, when he was taken captive, and they took him from the Mount of Olives over there to Annas' house, then Caiaphas' house, and then over to Herod, you see how close proximity that is, and you can see how that all could happen in that night. And so so now the glory of the Lord is now at the eastern gate, and now it goes out to the Mount of Olives, okay? George Williams said this, "The glory of God retired unwillingly. Its throne was the most holy place. Then it withdrew to the threshold, and then above the threshold. Then it retired to the eastern gate, and finally to the mountain on the east side of the city. Thus did God of Israel lingering love forsake his city and his temple, not to return until the person of Jesus. The next time the glory of God was to come to the earth is going to be in the person of Jesus." Okay? And this is one of the reasons why Paul would say in Colossians 1:15, he is the image, speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And then verse 19, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him," meaning Jesus, "all the fullness would dwell." All the fullness would dwell. Since God's glory is one of his attributes, when God caused all of his fullness to dwell in Jesus, his glory came down to earth. This is why we read in John's gospel, John 1:14, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is our tabernacle. And as our tabernacle, he is full of glory. And when God the Son, Jesus, came to earth, the glory of God came down from heaven. This is why we read in Hebrews 1, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So Jesus is the heir of all things. He made the world or ages and is the brightness of God's glory. He's the brightness of God's glory. He's the express image of God. This is why when Philip would ask Jesus, hey, show us the Father. You go, Philip, have I been with you this long? Don't you get it? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the Father. And so now people didn't always see that fullness of his glory. It was veiled in his humanity. That's why Philip would ask that question. However, you did get to see glimpses of his glory through the many miracles that he did. Through his teaching, they would see and hear the power and truth of his deity. On a rare occasion, Jesus did show his glory to Peter, James, and John. On the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus would transform right before their eyes. And in Matthew 17, 2, it says, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. This glorious cloud that filled the tabernacle speaks of Jesus. And the glory of God came down in the person of Jesus. And what did mankind do with that glory? They nailed God's glory, Jesus, to the cross. But after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus stayed with his disciples for 40 days until the day he was taken up, meaning up into heaven. And how was he taken up? Acts 1:9. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Not clouds, plural, cloud. That's the cloud of God's glory. That's God's glory receiving God's glory right there. A cloud received him. And how interesting that as you read that, it's so funny to me. Go over here to Acts 1:9, as a matter of fact, so you could see this. Look what it says here. Acts 1:9. Now when he had spoken these things, they watched and he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Obviously two angels. Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Well, that's not true at the second coming. Jesus comes on a white horse. It says nothing about being accompanied by cloud. It says nothing that he comes down in a cloud. It does say that he comes down in a cloud to receive us when? At the rapture. Interesting. It's like the two angels are going, hey, guys, what are you looking at? Don't you know that he's going to come back for you in the same way he just went up? Guess what? You got things to do right now. Go get busy. You got the Father's work to do here. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, how is he going to come back in the same manner? In the rapture. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet who? The Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. We're going to be able to go up to him. And that's how he's going to come back for us. Same thing as you see the cloud going back. Guess what? It's a cloud that's going to come. It's going to come. And so again, I'll just kind of leave it at that. Jesus, the glory of God. When Solomon finished the temple, the glory of God moved in. But when God finishes building his church, he will move the church out. Then we will share God's glory in heaven for all of eternity. So where's God's glory today? In the body of every believer in the person of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let God's glory shine through you. God today does not dwell in buildings. Buildings may be dedicated to God, as we've done with this building here 2 months ago. And we dedicate this building to be used as God's tool as he works, as he does his work and through his workers. But God now dwells inside of us. And our responsibility is to glorify God in all that we do. Thus, Jesus would say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They would see Jesus in you. They would see the glory of God in you. And then that brings what? Glory to God. Brings glory to God, your Father in heaven. In Colossians 3, verse 1, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. For when you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. In glory. So again, we are here to show the glory of God. God is now inside of us. This is where God's glory dwells, is inside of those who have received his Son. That's where his glory dwells today. And we need to show that glory to others so they will glorify our Father in heaven and understand there's still a future glory, even more of this, that when we die, he will appear to us. And guess what? We will appear with him in glory. It's awesome. It's wonderful. If that doesn't give you amazing hope, if that doesn't put a little giddy up in your step, I honestly don't know what will. If you attach your happiness to a sports team, if you attach your happiness to work, if you attach your happiness, okay, and your joy to money and wealth and prestige and whatever it is, recreation, whatever it might be, it's going to disappoint and it will distract you from what it is God has called you to do in being that light and a witness, because the glory of the Lord now dwells inside of you. And you'll be surrounded by the glory, and you'll be able to see that glory with your eyes the moment you die or the rapture happens, and you will appear with him in glory. Your future is awesome. You have an inheritance incorruptible, can't be taken away from you. The question is are we going to be busy with the things of God until we meet him face to face and brought into the presence of his glory? That's the key right there. That's the $1 million. Are you going to serve the Lord? Are you going to, you know, do what God has called you to do? Be who God has called you to be until that time comes. So you can hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Hey, you have many rewards for you in heaven because your faithfulness here on earth. Or is it just going to be, so what did you do for the Lord? Well, I received his Son. Okay, then what? Well, not a whole lot. That's apparent because everybody else is shining up here and you have a little dinginess to you. Don't get all those crowns that everybody else has gotten and those rewards and things like that. I mean, it's one of those things. And I don't care how old you are, you can start praying for people. There's so much that God hasn't taken you yet. That means he has a purpose for you. And so there's so much yet to be done for the kingdom of God. So let's finish up here. Exodus verse 35 says, so the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because a cloud rested above it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Filled it, overflowing. Even he had to withdraw. Because that was a presence of God he hasn't even experienced before. And he's still a sinful dude. And then it says here, whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. Yes. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day. Fire was over by night in the sight of the house of Israel through all their journeys. The point of this is that everyone in camp would clearly be able to see the presence of God. And I would submit to you that those who don't know Jesus, when they're around you, they should clearly be able to see the presence of God. And it shouldn't be veiled by our distractions. It shouldn't be veiled by our carnality. It should not be veiled by sin. And so again, throughout all their journeys, the book of Exodus ends with this great hope and trust in God. Though Israel was in the middle of a desolate desert, fierce enemies they will come across there in the promised land, they were weak in and of themselves. They're liable to being very, very sinful and being very, very rebellious. Yet at the same time, God was still with them. Does it kind of not speak of us in our journey in life? I'm still sinful. I still rebel. Still not that perfect person in Christ that God wants me to be. Yet God is still with me. We're told time and time again, he'll never leave you or forsake you. If you receive Jesus, he is with you. All it requires of us in our sinful state, our rebellion, Lord, forgive me. Come to him, submit, throw yourself down. Lord, forgive me of my attitude today. Lord, forgive me of how this week has gone and not trusting you, whatever it might be. He'll never leave you or forsake you. God was with them, and that gave them great faith and confidence. That should give you faith and confidence as well. We all make mistakes. We all blow. We all have a bad day. We all have a bad week, month, maybe. You know, all it takes is a quick, Lord, I'm so sorry, being before him. And he's there. He was just like this, walking until you turn to him and he's going, I'm right here. Oh, he's been here. So quick to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And when you speak of a journey, that means that you anticipate an arrival. And so we're all on this journey with this expectation that we're going to walk into heaven someday. And when people walk into heaven, it hurts. Because we miss them. A little bit of jealousy. Got there before I did. You know. But we shouldn't be upset about it. Because that's where the journey leads. It leads to heaven. And so when believers in Christ get there, it is to be a celebration. But Dave, they were only 38 and they left behind two kids. You're right. That is very sad. No question about it. But we're grateful for them, but we hurt for the family. But that's what we do as the family of Christ. We come alongside. But that person is doing just fine that walked into heaven. The end of their journey was 38 years. Nobody is guaranteed 85, 90 years. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, hey, you get 90 years, you know, and then you'll be walking to heaven. Nowhere does it say that. And God takes his saints at different times because God's word makes it very clear. He knows the number of our days. We don't. Some are fewer than others, you know. But this journey speaks of an arrival, and that's in the presence of God's glory, heaven. This is why Paul would say, be confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until what? That arrival, that day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Neither death nor even
life. Thanks for spending part of your Tuesday with us on Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. We'll be back tomorrow to continue our study through the book of Exodus. Don't miss it. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services.
You can also join us for a barbecue and Bible study on Wednesdays at Rhyolite Park, located right here in Castle Rock. The barbecue will begin at 5:30, and then worship and the Word will begin at 6:45. Please be sure to bring a side dish to share. And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.